resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets resurrected? When they get resurrected? Okay, so we saw a resurrection of the just and the unjust, the blessed and the cursed, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the damned. And we saw that there's a separation. And I believe that through the scriptures, all the scriptures we use to learn this, that there is going to be a separation on the day of the Lord between the sheep and the goat, between the wheat and the tares, the good fish and the bad fish, and they're going to go to their place, and we are going to go into our place, and we will never see them again. So that led to the study of what Curtis and Beth teach on the kingdom of heaven, which we are appointed to. And there were so many verses that, for me, show that the kingdom of heaven is for us. Well, then I think the last time we studied, we saw that the kingdom of the damned, they're going to go to their place, and there's going to be a separation. And it was brought up last week about Zechariah, or there was a question about Zechariah 14, which is now going to lead us into another road here. And I asked the Lord, should we study it? Because this has been brought up before.
A couple, three times.
Yeah, just like Ezekiel 39, and I don't think there's anything wrong with asking questions.
Amen.
And I do think that when we do ask questions, we go to the Lord. So Sunday, I said, well, we'll look at it. And, you know, when I got home Sunday, because I can't hardly watch football anymore.
Yay! Oh.
I spent some time with the Lord, and I just said, should we chase this? And I felt He put it on my heart, chase it. If there's something out there, a question, throw it out there. We'll chase it. God gave us this to give us understanding. And this group here actually does put the scriptures ahead of our own beliefs. So Zechariah 14, which seems to be contradictory to what we're learning here. But I'll ask the question, is there contradictions in your Bible?
No. Just really are not understanding that.
That's right.
It's mitigation.
That's right.
They explain other verses.
That's right. Exactly. So I've said all along, it's the New Testament that explains Old Testament prophecy. So Old Testament prophecies are basically made to Israel, not seeing that the Gentiles were going to be invited. It's not until we get to the Old New Testament that we realize these Old Testament prophecies are for the Gentiles too.
Except
that we
Isaiah,
have been
right?
included.
Isaiah is the one prophet that includes the Gentile nations.
That's right. Yeah.
In the kingdom.
Well, and I think you see that through all the Old Testament prophets.
Yes.
That it had been a mystery in the Old Testament that the Gentiles were going to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
But then once the New Testament comes along, and a famous verse that says that they without us,
mm-hmm.
right, shall not inherit.
To
this
point, Isaiah
right.
has 66 chapters.
66
oh, come on
chapters
now.
Cover the whole book.
That's right. Absolutely. 66 books in your Bible. So it's not until we get to the New Testament that we realize that the Old Testament prophets actually were prophesying that the Gentiles were going to be invited into the kingdom too. So my point here is, in the Old Testament, they were mysteries. So to make a doctrine out of the Old Testament, I think, is a failure to connect it to the New Testament. Because I believe the New Testament explains the Old Testament. So I'll show you, I just want to get started here with Ephesians. If you turn to Ephesians 1. So Ephesians 1, 9 through 14. Okay. So here's what we're talking about. 9 through 14. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in Him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. in whom ye trusted, after ye have heard the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, whom ye also, after that ye believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance until the redemption and the purchase possession unto the praise of his glory. So to me, the key here is verse 10. There is a dispensation of grace, right, mm-hmm. that is going to come to its fullness, right? And then when he gathers together all things in Christ, both what are which in heaven and on the earth. So what event is that? That's the second coming, right? And that dispensation.
One really important word there, as you said that, in one.
That's right.
Gathered together in one.
Yeah.
So the Jew and the Gentile, they're not made complete without us.
That's
Hebrews
right.
Hebrews 11, right? So in that, the body of Christ is Jew, Gentile. It's the believers, right? And if you believe in God, it is accounted unto you as righteousness.
That's right. And that's like, you know, Kevin is saying, that's the DNA of the
yes.
believer. It's
right.
the child of Christ. Jesus in the garden said, I'll separate his seed, the seed of the serpent, from mm-hmm. the seed of Christ. That's DNA. And so we're a spiritual DNA, even though we've been born from different nations. We're a spiritual nation of the kingdom of heaven.
And we had an interesting question from a dear friend of ours last night, Val. She called up or texted my wife and asked her about Ishmael and why Abraham, he wasn't part of the promise. Right? Well, two different DNAs.
Yes, that's right.
There's the promised seed and there's the unpromised seed, the seed of the flesh, which cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and then the seed of the spirit, which only can inherit the kingdom of God.
That's right. And he even says to Abraham, you're only begotten.
The one.
That
yes,
was the question. That was the question.
Well, he was.
You had that first.
He's
yeah.
the begotten of promise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And it calls Jesus the only begotten of
the Father
as the child of the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my point here is you could see that dispensation of grace is going to come into its fullness.
Yes.
When? He's talking about the second coming here, mm-hmm. when he gathers all things together. So look at chapter 2. 2:12 says that in times ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without a God in the world. But now, in Christ, who ye were sometimes afar off and made nigh by the blood of Christ. So we were a question mark in the past. We weren't invited. But mm-hmm. now we are invited in. The Gentiles are invited in. And if you look at 19 to 22, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being himself the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. So you can see there's one salvation here for the Jew and the Gentile. It's going to gather everybody together, and we are that building, not of brick and stone and mortar, but a building, a temple made of God, the Jew and the Gentile together. So this, verse 3, chapter 3 here is what I'm kind of getting back to.
Ephesians?
Yeah, we're still in Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given to me, you word, how that by revelation he had made known unto me the mystery.
It's a mystery.
As I wrote before in a few words, whereby ye read that ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but now it is revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So in other ages, this was not known
mm-hmm.
by Zechariah, let's say.
Right.
It was not known. But now it is known because it is the New Testament that explains the Old Testament. So 5, turn to Ephesians 5, 30 to 32. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. And for this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. One flesh.
Mm-hmm.
One. Not unbelievers, not unsaved people, but the people of the kingdom are one with Christ. So verse 32, this is a great mystery. In the Old Testament, this is a mystery. Now, right, it's not a mystery anymore. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. So this is the mystery that is now being explained. And don't forget, he, in the book of Acts, he called the congregation in the wilderness the church. So, you know, we know that church is not just a Gentile phrase that started at the book of Acts, right?
Well, remember what church is, you know, and I'm no Greek scholar, nothing like that, but ecclesia, right? And what does ecclesia
right.
mean?
Congregation, assembly.
A congregation, well, not just a congregation, but a congregation that's removed out of one set
that's right.
into another set, called out.
That's right. That's an assembly.
It's an assembly.
And they set, they're set aside mm-hmm. to worship God.
Right.
Okay, so Hebrews, I just want to continue with this theme here, Hebrews 1, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter 1. So Hebrews 1:1 says, God at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Zechariah, Ezekiel, by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. So he calls these the last days that he's spoken to us by his Son. So the Bible's complete. So all the mysteries that were in the Old Testament, they're now being explained by reading the New Testament. So one more here, 1 Peter 1. I'm just setting some up here, so we're going to get to Zechariah. 1 Peter 1, we'll start at 3. Blessed be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Like Curtis said, my hope is not just looking backwards.
Right.
My hope is looking forward that we are in the last days mm-hmm. since Christ came the first time. He's going to come again. He's going to defeat our enemies. We are going to be resurrected unto a lively hope in his kingdom.
Right.
So I look forward to that. And there's nothing wrong with mm-hmm. looking forward to the second coming.
In fact, right? We're told we're blessed if we do.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
If you're really looking for the resurrection, the next coming of Christ, the kingdom coming, then you have no fear
That's
about
right.
what's happening right now.
That's right.
What a blessed thing.
He is my hope.
Right.
He is, oh, yes, he is my focus. That's the first person, the first being I want to see when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these things,
right.
the kingdom, the resurrection are going to be important. We're in store for, all right, so verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
That's 1 Corinthians 15.
Mm-hmm.
This corruptible shall put on incorruption. That's a resurrection and the kingdom that's mm-hmm. coming. And undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed
in the last time.
When's the last time? There can only be one last time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a last time 7 years before, and then a last time at the second coming, and then a last time 1,000 years later. There can only be one last time, and I only know one last time, the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the definition of last
time. Right?
Yeah.
He says it, last day, in that day. We'll see it in Zechariah when we get there. That day, he keeps saying. Wherefore, ye greatly rejoice now through a season, if ye need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that might be found unto the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So once again, here's another verse that's telling you at his appearing,
mm-hmm.
Whom having not seen, I love this verse, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice in joy unspeakable, full of glory. I've never seen him.
Right.
I'm not Thomas that he told to put your finger in my side.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen him, but yet he is alive.
Amen.
There is no doubt.
Right.
If there was coming. More than 100%, there is no doubt he is alive and well. He's changed my life. I didn't believe. Now I believe. He did that.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful verse. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So here you go. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but also that they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost being sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, these things that they looked at, whatever verse that is in the Old Testament, they didn't understand, they're now being... This mystery is now being opened up to people that read the scriptures, and it is going to be revealed when Christ reveals himself. So there's a handful of verses right here that put it at the second coming, when the mystery is complete. And the mystery in the Old Testament was they didn't understand these things, that this was going to apply to the Gentiles too. Okay, so that being said, what I'm trying to say here is to just, you will find what you might think are contradictory verses in your Bible. They're not. There are no contradictions in your Bible. What you have to do is you have to compare those verses to what the New Testament says. And the New Testament, we have had verse after verse. I don't know how many, and I didn't even get into all of them. There are verse after verse that say the kingdom is for us. It's not for them. And that at the resurrection, there's one resurrection. There's a resurrection of the blessed and the resurrection of the cursed. There are just too many verses to take one or two verses in the Old Testament and say, well, this is contradictory. And I'm not saying anybody here is saying that.
Right.
But I'm saying our understanding of contradictory verses has to come by the multitude of verses that come in the New Testament. Okay, so Zechariah 14. I think what we'll do is we're going to go right through it. We got time. So everybody grab a verse, right? I'll start, and why don't we go this way? I'll start with one, and we'll go Doug. We'll go down the line here. Over to that way, Wendy, Kevin, Paul, and then Alan, and we'll go that way. We'll end up with Steve. Okay? And everybody grab a verse, and then we're going to break this chapter down verse by verse. Okay? Zechariah 14. I'll start. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee.
For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city.
Then shall the Lord sail forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle.
And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south.
And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel,
Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee.
And it shall come to pass in that day, that the light shall not be clear, nor dark.
But it shall be one day, which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass, that at evening time it shall be light.
And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go forth from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, and half of them towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter it shall be.
And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one.
Amen.
All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in a place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses.
And the men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be a pride with wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand on their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth.
And it shall come to pass in that day that a great turmoil from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor.
And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance.
And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents, as this plague.
And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of the tabernacle.
And it shall be that whoso will not come up from all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain.
And if the family of Egypt go not up, and come not, that hath to no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacles.
This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles.
In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar.
Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and cease therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts.
Okay, so let's break this down. First of all, the first thing you notice here is Zechariah 14 is clearly talking about that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kevin read it. He says it'll be one day.
Mm-hmm.
So that could eliminate any idea that there's a 7-year period or a 1,000-year period. He is literally talking about the day of the Lord when Jesus Christ comes for the second time.
And he keeps talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. How many times was that mentioned? Like 3 times in the scripture?
It's right.
The Feast of Tabernacles, hold on to that, because I think as you unfold this a little bit, we'll see the importance of that day on that day.
That's right.
In that feast.
So the Feast of Tabernacles, from what I gather, and we're, like Curtis said, we're going to get into this, but just to jump ahead a little bit, the Feast of Tabernacles seems to be, from what I read, maybe I'm wrong, Lord correct me if I'm wrong, seems to be the only feast that we're going to be celebrating from year to year.
Yeah.
And what is the Feast of Tabernacle?
God dwelling with man.
So there are 7 feasts of Israel. 4 have been fulfilled.
Right.
There are 3 that still have to be fulfilled, and we've done this, right? The Feast of Trumpets,
mm-hmm.
Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles, they all take place on the same day.
Because I was going to remind you that, because so, that is all in one 24-hour period.
Yeah, so he is going to fulfill these last feasts, but yet we're going to come from year to year to Feast of Tabernacles. Go ahead, Wendy.
I don't know if I understood what you were saying. So the first verse, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Are you saying then that this chapter is one day?
Yeah. I mean, it says it. Look there. Verse 1 says that day. Verse 4, that day. Verse 6 says that day. Verse 7 says not only that day, one day.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Occam's razor here, the simplest answer is the answer, right? That day means one day, right? Verse 8, that day.
Nine.
Yeah, that day. 13, that day. 20, that day. So,
yeah.
I mean, to me, I think he's talking about one day.
So it's going to be one busy day.
Yeah. And Aaron, good point, because I think we're the, that's a good point, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it came out like a joke, but he makes a good point, because a lot of people don't understand that all these things can happen in one day.
Right.
Well, he's going to gather the people to
fight
against Jerusalem.
Yep.
Then he's going to separate them.
Yep.
And then whoever doesn't come, we're not going to give you rain.
That's right.
Right.
But what is rain? I mean, we're going to get to it. What is rain, biblically? There's an early rain and a latter rain.
Well, there's the spiritual rain, but there's also the blessing of rain. God says, if you obey my commandments,
that's
I will
right.
bless you. With moisture falling from the sky.
Right.
Not R-E.
So just a hint here, I believe he's not talking
not
about...
Not rain, but ruling rain.
Yeah.
But here he's talking about water rain.
I don't know.
In the flesh, water is the universal
That's
purifier.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. In the flesh.
Doesn't he sometimes, the days of Noah, I'm not positive. Sure.
Yeah.
So the day of the Lord, he's specifically saying the day,
mm-hmm.
as much as that time period.
You think it's more than one day?
In the day, in the day of Christ. I don't know.
Well,
if you meant that, you could pluralize it.
Right.
The day.
I mean, I think verse 7 makes it clear.
I'd have to go through other scriptures.
Yeah.
Right.
So
see if there's ever a place where he uses that. References the day as a time period.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to do that.
Well, when he's clearly talking about the day of Noah, he says one day.
Mm-hmm.
He says in that day.
But he also
so that day
about
is the day of wrath
of Noah,
right,
which
yeah.
was the lifespan of Noah.
Right.
The days of Windy is the lifespan of Windy, but there was a day that Wendy came into existence.
Well, Luke 17 explains it. He says
it, day in this one's day. I just have to look at other scripture. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
I can't just take this by itself. I'd have to look at other scripture. Did he ever?
I would say look at Luke 17 where he compares this to the days of Sodom and the days of Lot. He says those days. And then he says in that day, singular, right?
Yeah. When did you have pure Bible search that you use?
I have tried to put it on my phone and I can't.
Oh, you can't put it on your phone.
Oh, well, there you go.
You have to access the website.
Yeah.
But you
could
do
that on your phone. But then you could type in, search D-A-Y asterisk, which every verse in the Bible, every word in the Bible that has day in the beginning will show up, every verse.
Yeah.
So you can then see what day and days mean and how he uses them
right.
by every verse that's
right.
there.
Let me just share a verse with you. You don't have to turn there. Listen to Luke 17. We're talking about, I believe he's talking about a literal day here. And when he's comparing, like he said.
But he's also talking about days, the days of Lot.
So, okay, let me get there. Let me just read this for it. Likewise, it was in the days of Lot. In the days, plural, of Lot. They did drink, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built, until the same day Lot went out of Sodom, and it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So even shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. So there were days leading up to it, but in that day is when God, the day of the Lord was.
Yeah.
He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did drink, they married, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So you could clearly see there are days of tribulation before the day of wrath. And in that day is one day where he, you know, as he poured his wrath out, he destroyed the people and he saved the saints. So that's what I said. I think it's clear.
Right.
Okay, so verse 1, he's dividing things, mm-hmm. right? Thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Thy spoil shall be divided. So there's a division that's going on here in that day. You have the sheep and the goat, wheat and the tares, good fish, bad fish, and even Zechariah talks about Zechariah 12, 9 to 14 says, and it shall come to pass in that day. Oh boy.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Look at you. Go back. I just caught this. Go back to 12, verse 2. I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. When? In that day, right? Verse 3. Look at in that day, right? I will, all people, that would be a burden. Verse 4. In that day. Verse 6, in that day. Verse 8, in that day. Again in verse 8, in that day. At that day. Okay, so let's pick it up at 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations. That's what he just said over here. He's going to destroy everybody in 14. All the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn as him that mourneth for his only son, and there shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So what event is this? When they look on him who they have pierced is one event. Right? It's his second coming. When the Jew, now a third of them, will turn to him. In that day, verse 11, in that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadarimon in the valley of Megiddo. So Megiddo is going to take place at that day. And the land shall mourn every family apart. So now Christ is coming and he's dividing people. He's separating people. Every family apart, the family of the house of David apart and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart and their wives apart, and the family of Shimei apart and their wives apart, and verse 4, all families that remain and every family apart and their wives apart. So you see, there's a dividing here. He's separating sheep from goat apart from one another. Are we good there? Verse 2? Verse 2 says he's going to gather all nations against Jerusalem, right? So that's Revelation. You don't have to turn there. Revelation 16:13. Just to make it clear, I will gather all, not some, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Revelation 16:13 and 14 says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles to go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world. Not some of the world, the whole world. Of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. What is that battle? Armageddon. So you can clearly see here he's going to gather all nations, and Revelation says he's going to gather all the world. Verse 3, then the Lord shall go forth and fight in the day of battle. So you have a day of battle. Revelation, let's turn to Revelation here. Keep one finger in Zechariah, because we're going to do some Revelation verses here. So Revelation 19 says that there's going to be a day of battle on that day. Doug, 19 to 21.
What's that chapter?
Revelation 19:19-21.
Okay. Revelation 19:19-21. On the next page.
And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
Okay, so clearly this is the day of battle, right? This is Armageddon. Who's on the horse?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. What did he just do? He just slaughtered the enemy. Mm-hmm. And not only that, the false prophet and the beast, the Antichrist, immediately went to the lake of fire. They didn't even go to the pit of hell. They went immediately to the lake of fire. But look at 21. The remnant were slain. There's nobody left. The remnant are slain. Of all the people that aligned themselves with the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the Antichrist kingdom, they're slain, and they're slaughtered, and they became food for the fowls of the air. So, do you see this? I mean, to me, what I see, there's nobody left of the enemy here.
Well, now I look at verse 16 in Zechariah, and I don't, you know, this is
you're doing
fine. They got it wrong. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left, we're going to get there. All the nations.
Well, actually, there's one third part of chapter 13 of Zechariah. I was looking at in that day, mentioned it several times in the book of Zechariah. But then he says, "In it shall come to pass that the land of the Lord, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but one third shall be left therein."
That's right. Who's left? The believer.
The believer.
The saved.
So out of all of the world population, there's only one third of them that survive.
That's right.
Everyone else is wiped out.
The ones that are left are his. We're jumping ahead.
666.
I want to get to
the number of his name. That's his number.
I want to get to it, but we're kind of jumping ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I just was thinking of which came against Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Which were left.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to get to it. Yeah. We'll get to it. We're working our way through this. We'll get to it.
All right, just a question.
Yeah,
seriously.
It's good.
Part of our confusion has been we're talking about reign, R-E-I-G-N. And yesterday I found the verse 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him.
Right.
The finish of it is if we deny him, he will also deny us.
Mm-hmm.
But in studying Revelation with all the martyrs that are redone, my question is, do any Christians survive? Because they're going to come against us.
Absolutely.
And is that the definition of us reigning with Christ?
I do. I believe that.
We've suffered and we've died. We didn't love ourselves.
Your victory is over death.
And this reigning that we think that we're going to get, because also the other verse, Proverbs 11:31. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed. And I'm like, well, recompense, is that paid back? Like,
where are we now? Looking for?
She's in Proverbs right now.
Okay. All right.
I think it's being satisfied.
Right.
That's our recompense.
Right.
We're not looking for revenge.
Right.
Yeah.
And this reigning is not necessarily
ruling over
people that were bad on earth.
Right.
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 But in a sense, we will be, because we will be in heaven.
Right.
And with this battle of Armageddon is being fought, we're reigning with Christ.
Absolutely.
So I think that, that's part of what is the confusion here is, are we looking for revenge and making everything right? How does that look?
Payback.
Yeah.
And God,
the payback.
That's of the Lord.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So the payback is by the Lord.
And if we're satisfied with the Lord, we're not looking for
that. That's right. Yeah, I say this too. I literally believe that Zechariah 14 is talking about a different kind of rain. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's talking about the stuff that falls from the sky. I think it's talking about the latter rain, the Holy Spirit being poured on people. So I'm jumping ahead. I wanted to do this verse by verse.
Yeah,
we'll get to it, Kev. We're going to get to that. So verse 4, right? So you can see there's a battle there. You're
12? 12? Where are we?
We're in 14. We've got one finger in Revelation, and we're in Zechariah 14, 4. So his feet are going to stand upon that day on the Mount of Olives.
Right now he's talking about Zechariah.
Yeah, we're in 14, 4. And,
4.
Right.
Okay.
So that day he's going to stand his feet on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is, remember the map, is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It's not Armageddon.
Right.
It's where he raises people up, right? The Mount of Olives is where the Valley of Jehoshaphat is, where he says, I'll read it, you don't have to turn there, Joel 3, 12-14, let the heathen be wakened.
Mm-hmm.
It means they're dead, and they just got wakened. Right? And come up to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, I will sit and judge all the heathen round about. See, it already slaughtered them, like Alan said, an hour earlier, 2 hours earlier, and he just raised them up to sit in judgment.
Joel 3, I just want to reference.
Joel 3, 12-14. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. When did Jesus say the harvest is? The end of the world. The harvest is ripe, come ye get down, for the press is full and the fats overflow, for wickedness is great, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So the valley of decision is, what did you decide? Were you accept him as not just your Savior, but your Lord, or did you reject him? That's the decision he's going to judge people on. Okay, So we're still there. Verse 5, I like verse 5 too, because there's people fleeing into the mountains. Nancy, Revelation 6.
Wait a second, they're fleeing into the valley.
Right, yeah.
Of the mountains.
Okay, so you have people fleeing to the valley of the mountains, and the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Aziel, and ye shall flee, and ye shall... as ye fled before the earthquake, so there was an earthquake, and the Lord my God shall come and all his saints with thee. So I only know one time when the Lord God comes with all the saints with him. Okay, so the people fleeing, Revelation, Nancy 6, 14-17.
And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand?
So there's people hiding, but there's nowhere to hide. You're not going to run from him. You know, I was just reading in, I think, Joshua, where more hailstones killed the people.
Right? Yeah.
God, Revelation, there's hailstones coming down.
Same way.
And I think God has got some pretty good aim.
Yeah.
Okay? Even if you're in a cave. Yeah.
So 100-pound hailstones. Now, amazing this. Y'all know how big a 100-pound thing would be. Me and you are sword fighting. Ding, 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 and a rock hits you and nothing.
Yeah. They're not just randomly falling, right? Like a meteor coming out of the sky. God's aiming these things.
Oh, David's aim was correct.
Right.
Amen. Yeah.
But who flung David's?
Oh, it was through God.
Right.
Correct.
Okay, so...
but he is a good shot.
Yeah.
They only had one spot to hit.
So, once again, Wendy, what it seems to me is this is pointing to one event. All these things are pointing to one event here. And I get it, you know. So 6 through 8 says it's not going to be a normal day. And it shall come to pass that day shall not be clear nor dark. That evening time shall be light.
I'm sorry, Tom, you're...
We're in Zechariah 14.
That's right. Okay.
At evening time it shall be light. And then verse 8, and living water shall go out of Jerusalem. Okay, so Revelation 21, Gala 21, 1 through 10. There's a lot of good stuff here. So think of what we just read here. It's going to be not a normal day.
Revelation.
One finger in Revelation, one finger in Zechariah 14.
Yeah, but Revelation, what?
Chapter 21.
21, 1 through 10. So look at what we just read. Yeah, look at what we just read here. It's not going to be a normal day. It's going to be. It's not clear nor dark. But it's going to be. At evening shall be light, and then verse 8: living water shall go out of Jerusalem.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God.
Okay, so I screwed that up. But that works. That works, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, see, there, right? And it was actually John, Revelation 22, 1 through 10. But this works. Yeah. This is the day the Feast of Tabernacles is right there.
Verse 3, God dwelling
with man. And at that time, he's going to wipe away all tears. Verse 6, it is done. And there was a verse here about light. Okay, so go ahead.
A light question in verse 2. Is the holy city, New Jerusalem, actually the saint? Because prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, it's not really a city.
Amen. Right. You're,
we're the city. What do you say? You're the city on the hill.
We are the building of God.
That's right.
We are the city on the hill.
That's right.
See, we have this understanding because we have a finite mind with an infinite God. And he's telling us that there's a spiritual city, that we are the building, we're the stone thereof. And he's building a spiritual house, one not made with hands. That's the bride of Christ. That is the bride of the Lamb that comes out from heaven. It's all of the people who are reunited in the created image of God that Adam had.
It is mentioned four square.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, four square is dimensional.
You put us all together.
But four square is a dimensional number.
Right.
God doesn't come down at that time.
Right.
Because he's still up there when that sun comes down.
That's right. That's right. The squared is dimensional.
Which talks about as long as it is wide.
Yep.
And high. That's how John saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how... Don't forget, these visions are to John. This is how he's seeing.
I got things that just don't recognize.
He's seeing a dragon with seven heads. Uh-huh. We know that's not Antichrist, but it is Antichrist.
Yeah.
This is how God is showing him things. But we know that there's a dimensional kingdom.
Well, we have a temporal vision of a thing that's going to happen. We think it's going to look like New York.
right.
coming out of heaven. Right. All the tile buildings and all the windows. And that's because that's what we think of when we see a city descending. And then it doesn't help that Clarence Larkin guy made this picture of a big pyramid, and that's all these buildings and stuff in it. We have that picture of what it's supposed to look like, but that's not what it says it is. That's not what the Bible's. Kev, you had something? I'm sorry.
Tom spoke about the three last feasts of.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One of them is the Day of Atonement.
Right.
And I always broke that word down to at-one-ment. So it's God with us. It's the Jew and Gentile coming yes. together. It's also the kingdom of heaven, and the heaven right. and earth coming mm-hmm. together.
Yeah.
So it's fine. It's like culmination one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, like you say, when you read, these, God is showing these prophets things in their realm.
Yes.
There's a dimensional meaning to these things, too. So when he sees them come out of the sea, I don't think he sees them coming out of Lake Ontario. There's a sea that is deeper than, there's a sea of iniquity, a dimensional, mm-hmm. there was a sea of glass before the throne in the temple. I don't think that's...
But he also speaks that there is no more sea. Right. Our sin are buried in the deepest sea.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, so he only sees what he's shown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He makes no mention of the other apostles. Oh, I saw Paul here. And
right.
There's nothing. All the only mention of other people are the souls under the altar.
That's right. He shows you candlesticks, and he calls those the churches. So is this church? He's shown him in this realm things, but there are deeper, more a dimensional truth to him. You know what I'm saying? So when he shows him four, by the way, they have four square. It's 144.
Right, right.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, definitely. That always strikes me.
It's like the parables, right? It's like he who has ears to hear and continually hear revelation.
Yeah, that's right.
We have to
There's a deeper meaning to
right.
understand. That's right.
Again, to the seven churches, at the end of it, he has ears to hear. The overcomer.
He says the seven eyes are the seven spirits of the Lord. The Holy Spirit walking around with eyeballs. Yeah, but not human eyeballs. You know what I'm saying? There's a deeper meaning. He's showing them things in this realm, but the understanding is deeper. It's dimensional. Okay, so, because I want to get to verse 16 where Kevin's talking about, so it's not a normal day. John, I'm just going to grab this, 22, go ahead, read 22, 1 through 10 in Revelation. We'll just take our time.
And he showed me a clear river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Mm-hmm. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These saints are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship for the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou, do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.
So you can see here, Zechariah says it's not going to be a normal day. So that the light is going to be at night. And here we're told that the light is the Lord that giveth light, and he shall reign for 1,000 years. What does that say, Gayla? Does it say 1,000 years? It says forever. So, like I say, you compare these things. Verse 9 in Zechariah, you know, verse 9 in Zechariah 14. And then we're going to have a finger in Revelation 9, 16. So, verse 9 says, the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. And there shall be one Lord and his name one. And so look at Revelation 19. Dave, you're next. 19:16. And then Kevin, 11:15.
And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Very simple, right? Kev?
And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
Does it say, you mean it doesn't say he's going to reign for 1,000 years? It says forever and ever. And what event is that? It's the seventh trumpet blowing when he comes to rule and reign on the earth. And the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord.
Is that the other feast, the Feast of Trumpets?
That's, mm-hmm. That's yeah, absolutely. Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, where we atone, right? It's our Sabbath, right? And it says there's constant verses that says he reigns forever. What? The whole reigning 1,000 years is over them for 1,000 years. That's the only place we find that is in Revelation 20 when they are thrown into the pit. Okay, so Christ said, so Christ is coming, he's going to be king forever and ever. John 18:36, you don't have to turn there, said, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. Now is my kingdom not from hence. Luke 22:28-30 says, ye that have followed me and continued with me in my temptation, and I appointed unto you a kingdom. Us, we're getting a kingdom. As my Father had appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table, tabernacles, in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging 12 tribes of Israel. But Corinthians says that we are also going to judge the nations on that day. So you can see, his kingdom's not of this world. He's coming with a kingdom, and we're part of it. It is appointed to us. So, verse 10. Oh, boy. We're not going to...
Come on,
let's get to 16. So,
don't rush it.
No.
I mean, there's no sense in rushing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 10 says there will be in Zechariah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and all the land shall be turned?
Yeah. It will be no more utter destruction, and the people shall dwell safely. So, I mean, that has to take place at the second coming when he destroys everybody, and his people are going to dwell safely. Oh, so this is it. 12. Look at 12 in Zechariah 12. Tell me what the plague is here. 12-15. And the plague wherewith that the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. What's the plague? They're going to be consumed.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be melted, right? That's the plague that's going to happen to them. Daniel 2:44 says, in the days of these kings shall God set up a kingdom that which shall never be destroyed, and his kingdom shall not be left to other people, but shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 talks about the Antichrist and his kingdom. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So you can see the enemies being destroyed, consumed here. And what I'm told that this consuming is that they are going to melt right where they stand. And I'm told that's the plague that's going to be on them.
Yeah, when I had mentioned that those are the left of the nations. You know?
Yeah.
So, and it also, and, you know, not to distract you from your points, but I mean, 18, it says the family of Egypt. Very specific. The nation. Oh,
okay. But, yeah, but, yeah. Okay. But it says the family of Egypt, there'll be no rain and the plague. So what's the plague that's going to be on the Egyptians that are not going to come up? They're going to get consumed. Yeah. They're going to get melted. Okay, so what?
The horses and asses and camels.
But verse, but don't forget 19. He's not just talking about Egypt. He says, this shall be the punishment of the, all the nations of Egypt and all the nations.
And the punishment, yeah.
So it's not just Egypt.
Yeah.
It's all the nations that are going to, that are not going to come up to the Feast of Tabernacles. The plague on them is going to be consumed. So
remember,
here's the point.
Just said one, just said the thing with the Egypt. There's a scripture that talks about Egypt will be made whole and the Assyrian will be whole.
Yes.
There'll be a highway.
Yes.
Where is it? Is it Isaiah?
Yeah. So here's my point. The thief on the cross, he was Christ's enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He got saved on the cross.
Yeah.
When he came up against him. He got saved. So there are people, we've talked about this, it's in Joel, that people are going to be gathered. Everyone's going to be gathered at Armageddon. Some of these people are going to be gathered against the Lord at Armageddon. When he appears, a few of them are going to turn. They're the ones that are left. The saved people are left. So even the Egyptian, the Greek, the Italian that went up to Armageddon to go against the Lord at the Battle of Armageddon, when Christ appears, because Wendy was witnessing to an Italian, that Italian is now going to get saved. He's going to be left to go year to year to the Feast of Tabernacles, right? The ones that aren't left are going to be consumed. The plague is going to be on them. Don't forget, when Christ brings up people, he brings them up as nations, right? We saw that. He's going to bring up Nineveh. He's going to bring up the Queen of the South. Nations. Well, they're going back down as nations. So the desolate land is not, what happens is there's no rain. We're not done with this.
No.
The no rain is the Holy Spirit pouring down, the latter rain pouring down on people, and they didn't receive it. So if they didn't receive it, they are going to, if there's no rain, what is it? It's desolate, right? It's the abomination that's going to cause the desolation. It's not the abomination of desolation. It's the abomination that's going to cause the desolation. So all these nations that gather together against the Lord and against his anointed at Armageddon, they are going to, they are going down. They are going to their desolate place. And there, I got a whole bunch of verses we're going to look at what is desolation. In other words, Kev, there is no rain in hell. Right? There's no water. There's no rain. Think of the rich man and Lazarus.
Yeah.
There's a gulf between them, a sea, Alan, between them, that they can't pass over.
Yeah.
Neither can they go there. And yet he's saying to Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in the water. There's no water. There's no rain where they're going. You see where I'm going with this? So we're going to continue it. We're not done. I guess we'll get... That was kind of like half of what I wanted to get to about verse 16 there in Zechariah. The only way I know how to put it is there is going to be two people of the families of Egypt being separated.
Yeah. There'll be two Israels.
Yes.
There'll be those Israelites that accept the Christ. There'll be two folks that call themselves Christians.
That's right.
The ones who did the will of the
That's
Father
right.
and the ones who only said
The
it
reason before. They're not going to go up to the Feast of Tabernacles, because they can't.
Yeah.
They're not.
Oh, yeah. If you have the rich man in hell, he wished he could go back.
That's right.
You know?
They can't.
But he couldn't do it.
But there will be a separating. You know, like I said, think of the rich man on the cross. He was Christ's enemy until he understood who Christ was.
Right.
And I do believe that the Bible teaches, Joel, we'll get into it next week, that there's still going to be a remnant of people mm-hmm. from all nations that are still going to turn to the Lord on that day.
Yeah. But it's still going to be a day. It's not going to be 1,000 years.
Right.
When they see him whom they have pierced, those, because the whole world's going to see him. And those who have heard the truth and their heart has started to turn, when they see him coming, they will repent. All right? But there will be those who see him coming that their heart's so hardened that they won't repent.
Just like when Jesus did the miracle. Some believed.
Some believed, some didn't.
That's right.
Yeah. And then when the apostles spoke to people, some believed.
That's right. Some didn't.
Yeah.
So somebody remind me that we're in verse 16 next week.
I'm on.
Okay. So we're good, right? Father God, so thank you for this word. I thank you that my brothers and sisters, when I wanted to jump ahead, said, hey, hang on. That comes from you, Lord. And you know how I am. I want to finish something I started on that day. But yet, your way of teaching is not my way.
Amen.
You are better than me. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters. And I pray, Lord, if I have said something in error here, don't hold it to my brothers and sisters. Hold me accountable and correct me, as you've done so many times. But you've been merciful in your correction of me. And I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that the Word of God has come down to us as the dew of heaven, that we will even see next week that your Word is the water, that your Word is the dew on the ground, that Jesus is the manna that came down and fed us. Thank you, Father God, for him. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for truth in Scripture. And I pray that this world would wake up to the only truth in the Bible, which is Jesus Christ. And I pray that that truth still gets preached through Curtis, Lord, as you just move him aside. Amen. And just keep feeding your flock. Keep watering your grass. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.